John Suwoda often said at the beginning of his meditation instructions, to put yourself in a good mood. Might sound backwards. We think, well, we meditate to get in a good mood. How do you start out in a good mood? Well, you remind yourself that meditating is a good thing. Here you've got this opportunity to sit here quietly, watch your mind. It's an opportunity that rarely comes. Most people in the world are either too rich or too poor, too busy with their work, too enthralled with their pleasures, to have the time, to take the time, to really get to know their own minds. You've got the opportunity right now. And then remind yourself also that you're following a good path, the path of the Buddha's teachings, virtue, concentration, discernment, harms no one. It helps foster good qualities in the mind. It's a path that was found by people without defilements, or taught by people without defilements, who, when they taught it, had no ulterior motives at all. They had found what worked and were happy to share it with other people. So if you find that you bring a bad mood into the meditation, stop and think for a while. This is one of the reasons why we have the chance to think about things that are conducive to meditation, to remind yourself of why it's a good thing to be meditating. Think thoughts of goodwill. Remind yourself that ultimate happiness can't be found in the body or the things of the body. If you're going to find true happiness, you have to find it in the mind. So focus on whatever theme you find helpful to get yourself in a good mood to meditate. And then it'll be a lot easier to settle down. When the Buddha describes suffering, he talks about clinging to the five aggregates. And we hear that one of the aggregates is feeling. People often assume, well, that means our emotions. That's not where the emotions are. The emotions are under fabrications. They're put together. What are they made out of? Well, they're made out of, one, the way you breathe. Emotions are a physical thing. It's not totally mental. An emotion is basically a thought that's gotten lodged in the body, has affected the hormones in the body one way or another, which is why it seems so much more insistent, so much more important and real. It's why we tend to identify with our moods much more than we identify with our thoughts. Because the moods have moved into the body that we claim to be us, claim to be ours. Part of it is caused by the way you breathe. Part of it is caused by the way the mind thinks about things. You could sit here thinking about all the wrong that has been done to you. This person said that, that person said this. You focus on that topic and you can elaborate in all kinds of directions on why it was wrong for them to do that. And you can build a really bad mood that way. And then deeper that are what they call mental fabrications. The directed thought and evaluation, those are called verbal fabrications, the things the mind says to itself. And then finally there are mental fabrications, which are feelings and perceptions, the labels you put on things, and the actual feeling tone, pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. All these things get mixed together, get fabricated into emotions. So it's important to realize that an emotion is a fabricated thing. It's not primal. I mean, it may deal a lot in the lizard part of our brain. But it's still fabricated. It's something put together. So when you realize that it's put together, you try to put together a good one if you find yourself in a bad one. But one of the problems of being in a bad mood is it usually turns out hormones that get into the blood and they stay in the blood for a while. So you may give an expression, might be actually a verbal expression to anger, or just really let the mind dwell on anger for a while. Then you find that certain hormones get into your bloodstream, and then there you're stuck with them for a while. It takes a while to wash them out. So here you are trying to sit and meditate and put yourself in a good mood, and you've got all these other hormones in the blood, which are designed to make you feel antsy. So if you find that you're having trouble putting yourself in a good mood, it's because you're allowing the basic sense of the body to have a big impact on the mind. And that's something you've got to learn how to cut through, otherwise it becomes a vicious circle. The mind feels lousy in the body, and so that it turns out more lousy hormones. So it's important to know how to cut the cycle. One way of doing it is realizing, okay, there's this stuff in the body, it's going to take a while for it to get out. So don't focus on the whole body at a time like that. Focus on one little spot. There must be some spot in the body where you can get some measure of comfort. And then focus right there. As for the rest of the body, so it's give it over to the hormones for the time being, but you're not going to feed on the bad feelings or the uncomfortable feelings in the body. You're just going to find one little spot and hide out there. It's like going through a storm. If you're in a little tiny shack and there's a big storm outside, you just stay inside your little shack. You don't go venturing outside. Try to find a place that's safe from the wind and the rain and just stay right there and content yourself, saying, well, at least right here is safe. And as for the storm outside, well, let it blow its way. If you find that you can't stop it, okay, you can't stop it. If you went out and tried to stop the wind and stop the rain, you just get yourself in really bad shape. Or simply expose yourself to the wind and the rain. That's not helpful either. Got to get inside where it's what's dry, warm, protected from the storm. And content yourself with staying there. You may want to go outside, but that's not the time to go outside. It's the same with the body, especially in a summer like this. It's usually in the summer, really hot summers, that riots happen in cities because people let the weather get to them. So try not to let the heat get to you. That can just compound the problems. Find some little spot in the body that's relatively cool. Say, okay, I can't make the whole body feel good, and I can't make things outside the way I want them to be, but at least there's one little spot where I can hunker down for the time being. And then do your best to put yourself in a good mood in that little spot. This is a basic principle you have to use in all aspects of the meditation, because there'll be times when you can't get things to go the way you want them to. Not only in terms of your moods, but also in terms of social situations. All kinds of things outside are totally beyond your control. And yet we allow our happiness to depend on things that are totally out of our control. This puts us in a bad position. You've got to realize, okay, the wide range of the world that I would like to see this way or that way is not always going to be the way I want it to be. But at least I can control a few things inside my mind, inside the body. So find those things and focus there. Ride out the storm that way. This way you help to cut that vicious cycle of being in a lousy mood, and then the body feels lousy, and that just makes the lousy mood even worse. It's a simple simple application of the teaching on not self. Why identify with a lousy mood? It's not going to help you at all. You say, well, because it's my mood. Well, why do you have to say it's my mood? It's lousy. Who wants it? Learn to step outside it. Or maybe learn how to step deeper inside. And that goes streaming out after the mood, and then from the mood out to things outside. For the time being, identify only with what you can control. And it may seem a mighty small space, but at least it's better than getting involved in identifying with things that are actually going to make the situation worse. So content yourself to be right here, right now. There's another teaching that Ajahn Swat would often stress. Is content yourself with, if it's going to be a little spot inside, content yourself with that little spot. Meditate, he would say, with a sense of contentment. And that way you build a foundation for other better things as the meditation begins to take root. This is a basic principle you try to follow not only while you're sitting here meditating, but as you go through the day. You're going to run into lots of situations you can't control. So don't go out and try to feed on them. Don't go out trying to claim them as you or yours. Learn to have at least a little spot inside that you can feed on to provide yourself with some nourishment. So you're not going out and eating scraps and garbage that other people have thrown away. Learn to be selective in your feeding. As you do this, you get a better and better sense of exactly how much you can control your moods, how you can condition them in the direction you want them to go. And it makes it a lot easier to live in the midst of the moods and the feelings in the body. Think of the various feelings you have as raw materials out of which you can create a mood. And learn to be picky in what materials you're going to use. Use only materials that create good moods. And just leave the rest. Now, this doesn't mean turning a blind eye to mistakes that you've made in the past, but you do have to put yourself in a good mood first before you're going to be able to look at your past mistakes in a way where you're willing to admit, ah, yes, I did make a mistake there, I want to learn from that. So the basic principle is always do what you can to put yourself on a good, solid footing first. And then when you're ready, you can deal with whatever else gets thrown at you.